It's Thursday morning. It's 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That means it's time for Tom and Shane, Business and Politics. Happy to have you along with us. Hey, while you're here, before we get started, hit the subscribe button. I mean, come on. I mean, it's a click. It's a lousy click. You just click the subscribe button, and your chance of winning the lottery won't be diminished at all if you do that, you know. So just go ahead and hit that subscribe button, ring the notification bell so you'll always be notified when we're on, and like us, leave a comment, because YouTube really likes that kind of stuff. And of course, if you'd like to support us monetarily, we would love that. Hey, Patreon, there's a link in the description below as to how you can do that and the great benefits Shane and I will provide to you if you decide to support us monetarily. And come on, let's face it, there are some costs involved in doing this. So, and we do this on StreamYard. So if you want to create your own podcast, this is how easy it is, folks. I mean, I can run it. So that alone should tell you all you need to know about how easy it is to put these things up with a StreamYard. And today we're going to talk about mass migrations. Why the mass exodus from American cities? What is going on, Shane? How come everybody's bailing out of these big cities?
Well, I think you'll find the principal reason for it, certainly from the standpoint of individuals, is taxes. Yeah, a lot of the principal winners of this migration, which has been quite massive, actually, between 2010 and 2020, 4 million people have moved, from California, New York, New Jersey, Michigan, Illinois, and other urban-type states, I would call them, where the second reason is, of course, housing. We've discussed this for 5 years about the primary housing in urban areas being bought up, secondary housing in states like, secondary cities like Bozeman in Montana, that's been bought up. So you're sort of in the third tier, the tertiary tier of the smaller, less populous counties with populations of probably less than 50,000 people. The other thing that's quite fascinating about this, too, is who's doing it. Principally, it's coming from the suburbs. You know, it's coming from the outer edges of urban cities that are, full of crime and have really bad schools. There's this push by the left in those cities, primarily run by them, with regards to some kind of consensus about, racism and educating children on racism. And parents just, rather than fight it, it's just easier in your country to be able to pick up a U-Haul and off you go, because there's there's 12 million jobs out there across your country available to people. So you're more than likely to be able to find the same job or something similar in another state and maybe even be paid more for it because, it's probably a rural area.
Yeah. Well, first time in 50 years, counties with an urban center and more than 50,000 or 250,000 people experienced negative growth as a category, Shane. And as you mentioned earlier, housing, affordability, spaciousness are two reasons for the shift away from American cities. And certainly the prices and crime and all of that enter into the picture, because the average price of an apartment in Manhattan is $1 million. In Dallas, the average value of a house is $200,000. So a lot of people are looking at their situation. They're looking at how much money they have and how much they got to spend to live where they live. And you're right. I think the middle class, upper middle class, those who have the income to move are doing exactly what you said, finding a similar job or another job in their related field and getting the hell out of Dodge.
Well, that's right. And quite the irony, of course, of this is, when you're looking up information about this, you learn, of course, the relative social representations of what the different areas called. The one that I found quite fascinating are what they call a micro areas. And micro areas are, as we said, it's defined as a county or a small city, you know, or urban center of up to 50,000 people. And the three micro areas that gained the most population in the last 10 years because of the last census, Kalispell and in Montana and Bozeman. And then Jefferson in Georgia. Jefferson is a
city. County.
Jefferson County. County. Yeah, and city. But there's a city, Jefferson County, Jefferson City. It's in the northeast part of Georgia. It's about 78% Black. But it's, you know, a lot of African Americans in Georgia or other places have moved to it because of the climate and the opportunity to buy a home for far less than what it would be in an urban center.
I would think people would move to Georgia for the favorable voting laws.
That's right. Wow, what a bet. And $1 billion tax refund by the state back to the people of the state of Georgia. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago topped the list of cities losing residents. New York, 328,000 inhabitants, according to the last census. Montana picked up another representative because of this movement around the nation. Los Angeles lost 176,000. San Francisco, I'm not sure why everybody didn't move out of San Francisco, but I don't know. They didn't. And, of course, Chicago lost about 90,000. So, a lot of movement here, Shane. And, you know, crime, housing, inflation, the COVID, when people are told, dress down when you come to work, what does that tell you? don't put on your best clothes. Don't wear your jewelry, when you come to work, because you'll be robbed.
Well, I think one important aspect of this too is governance. When people over the last 10 years certainly have listened to Republican governors, which the majority of states are run by governors, and most of rural America is run by Republicans, that they can cut taxes, still grow the economy in their state, still have all the major services provided that people would expect, and they're stuck in a blue state where all these issues are abundant that we talked about, from crime to drugs to everything else, to education, but more importantly, continuing the rising taxes, and they see the waste and corruption in their states by the same party for, two decades, maybe 20, even 30 years. Americans at some point, they get it right. Like Churchill said that, Americans may not get it right at first, but when they get it, they get it right. And now they're making that choice. They're saying, well, there's so many disadvantages here. I want to move and to where I have, much better opportunity for myself, my family, and especially my children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the point. That New York City has a new mayor, former police guy, and people are afraid to get on the subway. There's robberies on the subways. There was a story the other day about a mass shoplifting of stores, and nothing's being done about it. We know about Chicago. How many people were shot in Chicago over Memorial Day weekend?
40. And nine people were killed.
Yeah, and they set a record almost every holiday weekend in Chicago. But is anything done about it? No. I mean, nobody goes after the gangs. They got no bail. Assaults on the street of older people. Asians are being targeted. Why would you want to live? President Trump talked about shithole countries. Why would you want to live in these shithole cities? I just don't get it.
It's quite amazing. I've had the opportunity to visit most of your urban centers in the United States, and I would go out and go for walks, principally during the day, of course. through neighborhoods, especially like the boroughs in New York City. And of course, people are out on their stoops, on their steps, or you know, sitting outside, or and they're very friendly. And you know, and you just hi, and you know, I'm a Canadian, which makes it easier to talk to them. And yeah. This is a wonderful place. And gee, where have you been? And you know, the 90% of the people in these urban cities that I have personally met in 30 years of traveling, 90% of them would say never left the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's a remarkable number. That, to me,
they've never been 100 miles from home. Probably less than that for a lot of people. And
or even downtown Manhattan, you know, if they've been in Brooklyn or whatever, and they've never even been downtown in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, well, and think, they have a you know, one of the biggest subway systems in the world. It's not like it's difficult to get there.
It's not a problem there. Trains, planes, and automobiles.
Exactly.
Well, in the flyover, the center of the United States is kind of the same way. You know, people grow up in these farms and they grow up in small businesses. And, you know, other than maybe taking a vacation to Disneyland or something like that, they are born there, they die there.
That would appear to be the case. Yeah. And that's why it's so remarkable to see all these changes that are occurring and occurring in a relatively short period of time. I mean, this is not, you know, a decade is not a long time. I mean, you know, we mentioned last week that, you know, one of the largest migrations was between 1910 and 20, when 6 million people migrated from southeastern United States, mostly black people, to northern cities. But, you know, rural counties today have 40% less population than they did at the turn of the century of 1900. That's because in 1900, you know, 92% of the workforce was agrarian, you know, growing food. Mm-hmm. And as the Industrial Revolution came along, people moved from the city. Yeah. And then, of course, when the Great Depression occurred at the same time as the Dust Bowl and the drought in the rural areas, people went to the cities. So there was reason or cause to move, that not by choice. Mm-hmm. But this now, the difference is today it's by choice. So
that's true.
It's impressive to see, because they're not leaving your country.
No, they're not.
It's not like they're going to Mexico or Ecuador.
I was going to say, there's not.
They're not going to Venezuela. They're not going to Colombia. You know, they're not going to France or, they're just picking up and going to another part of the country.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I was surprised as you were about, Jefferson in Georgia, Kalispell, and Bozeman being micro centers. You know, you're talking about 50,000 population cities. And gain the most population. I think a lot of Bozeman Bozeman and Kalispell both are from parks. Glacier Park for Kalispell and Yellowstone Park, of course, for Bozeman. People come here and they see Bozeman, and hey, that's a pretty nice place. If we have to relocate, why not go there?
But you know, the other thing too is that, you know, there's unexpected consequences of this migration as well. And here's a really good one. Your country is on a continent that's so massive. It has, you know, every conceivable climate, you know, from tropical to dense forest. Yeah. Having said that, four of the most incredible states are along the Caribbean. Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, and Florida, they have seen the largest increase, you know, in 100 years of migration. I mean, states like Alabama and Mississippi had maybe less than a couple of million people 100 years ago.
Yeah.
But because of the climate and the opportunity to live on the ocean, I mean, you know, their populations have exploded to, you know, 10 to 20 million people in a state. And as you pointed out, in these cases over time, they end up having more members of the House, and because it's predicated on, you know, every 10 years the census is done, and the number, you know, the population of your state.
Yeah. Well, that's why Montana picked up a second representative, because Illinois hemorrhage people and New York hemorrhage people and Chicago and some of these other places that we talked about.
And they went to Bozeman and Kalispell.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure why they went to Bozeman, because our median price here is about $1 million. It's not the burger flippers from Wendy's who are moving here, I would think.
Yeah, but most of the numbers we're not talking about aren't today. These are people that moved to Bozeman 5 to 10 years ago. That's where these numbers are so staggering. Yeah. It hasn't stopped. I mean, it continues.
Yeah. I would say we've had the COVID slowed down the billing boom considerably, but it has escalated quite a bit in the in the past year and a half, I guess. It's become quite a thing. But the housing has gone up dramatically here in Bozeman and Kalispell too, I would imagine.
That's right. It's frankly a remarkable thing, because California was always seen as the promised land of even the United States.
Yeah.
But, with what's happening there now and the position the government's taking with homeless and the drug situation, a do-nothing government just tends to drive people away. And one thing as a party and as the leadership of a state is like a CEO. You want your company or state to expand. You want your company to hire more people, your state to have immigrants. Yeah. And now most immigrants, of the 1.1 million legal immigrants coming into your country, over 900,000 of them are going to rural areas. They're not going to urban areas, For 80 years they did, but in the last 5-10 years they're now choosing to go to urban areas. So that's a case in point now. And the likelihood is they can find an area in the country with a similar climate that they're coming from.
Where they were. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of commonality between, particularly, if you want to go to places like Phoenix, Dallas, Houston, places like that.
Or Nevada,
Nevada, yeah. Florida. Florida is another one. Yeah.
A lot of Middle Eastern people want to go to Nevada or Utah.
Yeah.
Utah is a pretty spectacular place to go to as well. So
yeah, it is. Yeah.
I don't think there isn't a state in your country that you can't look at and it has just some remarkable aspects. Even New Jersey, they call it the Garden State, and it is. Other than the Jersey Shore, the rest of the state's like a giant garden. It's a beautiful state.
Well, yeah, every state has its attraction, I think. There are some states when they say you're moving to this state, people go, wow, really? And usually Iowa and Kansas and Nebraska are not one of those oh wow states that you're going to.
Well, that's why I find it rather it's a contradiction to me for your present president's policy of moving all these illegal immigrants to rural or red states. Quite honestly, that's really where they want to be, number one.
Yeah.
It is, because they're running away from socialism.
Yeah.
Number two, the people that they're going to find there are going to have similar values, faith, family, work ethic. And so they're more inclined to find that they're going to agree with the neighbors they have or the people they get to know, who most likely are conservative Republicans.
Yeah.
So I think that, the Democrats, be careful what you wish for, because I really believe the numbers right even now of Americans, existing Americans, in the Hispanic voting group, you know, they're dropping away from the Democratic Party, you know, very quickly. I mean, it's not small. We're talking like 30%. So that's
pretty big. Yeah. Well, I want to remind you that the award-winning Tom and Shane are live on radio every Saturday. You can hear us anywhere you are in the world online. All you have to do is go to KMMSAM.com, click listen now. There's nothing to join. There's no sign-ups. There's no emails. There's no you don't need to submit your picture or a driver's license or anything else to listen to us. You just go there and click a button. I mean, come on. It's like subscribing here. There's nothing to it, you know. And if you want to see what our shows are like, our past shows are there as well, including this one will be up shortly. KMMSAM.com. Two M's. Don't forget the AM also. And just click on Tom and Shane's podcast, and you'll see our radio shows, our videos are all there assembled in order for you. And we do that for you. You know, I mean, we really do. I mean, so, you know, we don't want you to miss anything because, geez, heaven forbid. You know, we don't want you to.
You know, this is Tom and mine's legacy. And it's one we work on. And, you know, we are very prideful of it. Mm-hmm. And it's a remarkable opportunity. I thank you every day that we do this. And Saturday is a great show because it's 3 hours.
Yeah.
And we do have commercials, but they're on the half hour, and so it's a break.
And they're minimal, yeah.
And
yeah,
they're minimal. You know that's 5 minutes. That's enough time to get up and, you know, mm-hmm. get a coffee, relieve yourself, or whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
Even have some, you know, avocado toast, you know. So, it's great.
I can't tell you the number of listeners that have avocado toast each morning.
All
you know,
those women do.
Everyone.
Ladies love their avocado
toast. That's it. All right. Yeah, we have a very healthy audience, I'm sure. They're all eating up. You know, nobody's eating bacon. Everybody's eating fruit and veg and, you know, breakfast veggies.
Oh, that's me. I don't. Yeah. I'm a bacon and eggs and toast guy.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
And I occasionally, even hash browns, I'll take the time to make
up that. Pop up some of those babies. Yeah. All right.
That's right.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for us. Tom and Shane Business Politics every Tuesday, every Thursday. Hey, don't forget to subscribe because, we like that kind of stuff. You know, you subscribe. It's really easy to do. There's a button down on the bottom to do that with. And we will see you on the next podcast, which will be next Tuesday. And we'll be chatting with you on radio Saturday, 8 to 11, Mountain Time, KMMSAM.com. Don't miss it. We'll be back next week.